Welcome back to the Weekly Avos. My name is Jack Bromwitz, and we are continuing our study of two Mishnayos each week from the appropriate perek, as per the custom to study these chapters over the course of the summer. This week we are learning two Mishnayos from Perek Dalid, from the fourth chapter. We are learning Mishnayos Gimel and Dalid, Mishnayos 3 and 4, although it should be noted that in some editions, what we have here as Mishnah 4 is actually Mishnah 4 and Mishnah 5. So proceed accordingly. If you want to stop early because it doesn't fit with your edition of Pirkei Avos, I imagine that's your prerogative. So Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah 3 says, Hu Haya Omer, he used to say, who is Hu Haya Omer, who is he? Ben Azai, who was the subject of the previous Mishnah. So what did he say? Al Tehi Baz L'cha Adam, do not despise any person. Va'al Tehi Maflig L'cha Davar, and don't distance yourself from any matter. She'ein L'cha Adam, she'ein lo Sha'a, because there's no person that doesn't have his hour. Ve'en L'cha Davar, she'ein lo Makom, and there's no matter that doesn't have its place. So for this Mishnah, let's take a look in the parish of Rabbi Lau. He starts by quoting Rashi and the Bartnura, who explain this Mishnah to refer to a person who is powerless today, but in the future, he may gain some power, he may gain some authority, and then he's in a position to have control over you, whether that means doing you a disservice or perhaps helping you out when you're in trouble. So as per the saying, be careful who you meet on the way up because you'll meet the same people on the way down. It's sort of like that we shouldn't be dismissive of these people because who knows, someday in the future, we may actually need them when they're up and we're down. And along similar lines, we shouldn't disregard things thinking that they're inconsequential because someday they may actually be consequential. So to illustrate this, Rav Lau brings a midrash of similar theme, which discusses the Roman Emperor Diocletian, who had previously been a swineherd in Tiberia, in Tiberias. So one time when he passed a base midrash, the children who were studying there mocked him and abused him. Years later, when he became emperor, Diocletian decided that he would get even by destroying all the Jews in Tiberia. So the Rabbanan came and they tried to get him not to go through with this plan. And he said, oh, just because your God does miracles for you, you think you can insult the emperor. And they said, well, you weren't the emperor then. You were just a swineherd when you were abused. And he says, it doesn't matter. From this, they should learn not to insult even the simplest Roman. In the end, the Jews of Tiberia were saved through other means, but this was the lesson that Diocletian impressed upon them. Now, that's the explanation of Rashi and the Bartnura, but other commentators disagree with this explanation. They say don't despise any man means don't belittle him because you don't know what he may become in the future. For example, Yosef's brothers made fun when they heard his dream. But in the end, it was Yosef who was able to save all of them from the famine. And another example is Rabbi Akiva, who started out a poor, ignorant shepherd and ended up being one of the greatest teachers in Jewish history. So that's a comment. So there are other comments, but that's a comment from Rav Lau on Mishnah Gimel. Let us move on to Mishnah Dalid. Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavne Omer. Rabbi Levitas, who was from Yavne, said, Ma'od ma'od heve shuffle ruach, that a person should be exceedingly humble in spirit. Shetikvas enosh rima, because a person's ultimate fate is the worm. And as I said in some editions, that's the end of Mishnah Dalet, and continuing from here is Mishnah Hay, but we've got it as Mishnah Dalet, so we're continuing. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, Kol ha'machalo shem shamayim b'seser, anyone who desecrates the name of heaven in secret, Nifroi mimenu begaloi, punishment will be taken from him in public. Echad shoged ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. And when it comes to chil Hashem, when it comes to desecrating God's name, it makes no difference whether one acted inadvertently or intentionally. What does this mean? For this, let us take a look in the parish of the Iker Tosos Yontev. Shetikvas enosh rima, that a person's fate is the worm. Parish HaRambam, Yachashuv Achariso, Behu Shuva Rima Vahule. The Rambam explains that a person should consider his ultimate fate, and that is to return to the worms, etc. The Herich HaTosos Yontev, Beperish Milas Tikva. And the Tosos Yontev explains the meaning of the word Tikva at some great length. umasik shehu me'inyan kav lakav, b'sharsho kav. And he concludes that it's like the phrase from Sefer Yeshaya, kav lakav, which is a line to a line, and that the root of this word tikva is kuf vav. V'hatav hila tosefes bilvad, kamo tiferes, tilboshes, and the tav at the end, it's just a suffix, as in the words tiferes and tilboshes. V'hu minyan kav hamida, and this denotes a measuring rod. V'ayin b'midrash rabbah, parshas Bereishis, a pasuk yikavu hamayim. And you should look in Bereishis Rabbah on Parshas Bereishis, where it says, Yikavu Hamayim, that the waters were gathered. Yasu Mida Lamayim, this means that a measure was made for the waters. Bahachanami Hachi Perusho. And here also, this is its explanation. Shekav Midaso Hi Harima, that the standard for measuring a person is the worm. Va'ayin Tosus Yantiv, and see Tosus Yantiv for more. Beseser, if someone is Machal Hashem, performs a Chil Hashem secretly. V'im Tomer, and if you say, Hare Perish HaRabbeinu Bat Nurab, Mishnah Beis, Perech Ches De Yuma, De Chil Hashem Hu Chote Umachti, that the Bat Nura says in Mishnah and Yoma, that someone who performs a Chil Hashem is someone who sins and causes others to sin. B'hainu HaChote V'acherim L'meidim Mimenu, that is, that someone sins and others learn from his behavior. Im kain lo mishkachas la b'seiser v'chule. Then you don't find that someone can do a Chil Hashem secretly. How do you do a Chil Hashem secretly if it necessarily requires other people? V'nirali, and it appears to me, the Iker Tosfos Yontif says, d'mashkachas la ba'avera she'i efshar kiim b'hitztarev zuloso. It seems that it refers to a mitzvah that it's impossible to do without another person. Kagon ha'arayos, for example, prohibited intimate relations. Then achinami haochel iser ukahai gavna biyachidus vein roe lo havichel Hashem. And he concedes that someone who eats forbidden foods and does similar things like himself without anyone seeing, that is not a chil Hashem because no one knows about it. Va'ayin Tosfos Yontif, and again, see more in the Tosfos Yontif. Echad shogeg, it makes no difference whether someone makes a chil Hashem intentionally or unintentionally. No desha hashogeg gam kein tzarech kapara. It's known that someone who acts unintentionally also requires atonement. Aval eno kamezid, but it's not like someone who acts intentionally. Chalila leyosher darche Hashem yisbarach, v'hashros hamezid v'hashogeg b'davar min hadvarim. So basically, far be it from God that he should equate one who acts intentionally and one who acts unintentionally in any matter. Aval kavanaso hena, rather the intention here, shenefroim begoloi, is that they will both be punished publicly. B'mezid, onesh mezid. One who sinned intentionally will get the punishment that's appropriate for an intentional sinner. U'b'shogeg, onesh shogeg. And one who sinned unintentionally will get the punishment of an unintentional sinner. But they'll both be in public. In that matter, they are both identical. B'ayin Tosfos Yontif, and again, he tells us to see the Tosfos Yontif for more. All right, that is the end of Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Daled. Join us next week when we'll be doing two Mishnayos from Perek Hey.